All right. So I want to start off by telling you a story about when my sister and I went for a marathon, specifically the Seattle Kids Marathon. This was when I was in my mid-teens or so. Now, a marathon is normally around 26 miles or so, but to make it easier on, you know, the young and developing bodies that were running, the Seattle Kids Marathon is run a little differently. The kids run 1 mile at a time for a few weeks before actually getting together in Seattle to finish the last leg together and to have this big celebration. It's hard to imagine that many people all together at once today. So my sister and I, we decided that we were going to do our running early in the morning. We would get up at 6:30, which for a young growing teen who needs their sleep is really early, and we would run a mile. Now, what made this especially difficult was that this was in the Pacific Northwest in the early spring, when the air is really cold in the morning and it hurts your lungs. So we'd get up and we'd run, and some mornings just pushing through that last mile was really difficult because not only are you dealing with the grogginess of being awake early in the morning, not only are you dealing with the cold air, but you're also dealing with the pain in your lungs. So what kept us going and what kept us pushing through that mile morning after morning was the hope of this event, the hope that we would be able to get together and celebrate with a whole bunch of other people who had also put in the work to finish this marathon together. That is what kept us going. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Is we're going to be talking about hope. So our passage for the morning is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 22. Now I'm going to start out with just verses 8 through 17. If you'll read along with me, or just follow what's on the screen. Finally, all of you have a unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. So have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So what really struck me about this passage is the fact that Peter points to this idea of a blessing. He says in verse 9, bless, for this you are called that you may obtain a blessing. And he says again in verse 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Now, in order to truly understand what this would have meant for Peter's audience, it's helpful to understand who these people were. So this was a group of Christians known as the early Christian diaspora. We read in Acts chapter 8 that this was a group of Christians who had to flee the Jerusalem area because of the persecution of Saul. Saul, who would later become Paul the Apostle, but that's another story. And so these people were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. They had been forced from their homes for their Christian faith. They had suffered for righteousness. Yet despite this, Peter talks about blessing. He says, you will obtain a blessing, and you will be blessed despite what is going on around you. That's a pretty audacious statement for Peter to say, because Peter is actually suffering right along with these people that he's writing to. He is undergoing the persecution, and he's being dragged before rulers and authorities to speak and being punished. And so, despite this, he maintains this hope of receiving a blessing. That's an amazing thing. So the first thing that he says, the first instruction that he gives them is to be unified around their hope. In verse 8, he says, finally, all of you have a unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. This phrase, unity of mind, is interesting. A lot of translations will translate this as harmonious. And I don't think what Peter is saying here, agree on every single point of doctrine or be completely in line with every single one of your thoughts, because that's not human. That's not the human experience, and that has not been the history of the church either. I think what he's calling them to is to maintain the hope of blessing together, because a community that shares a common hope is harmonious because their eyes are fixed on that hope. So we have this promise of blessing, this hope of blessing to this suffering and persecuted people. So that begs the question, what is this blessing? What is it that Peter is offering here? Well, I think there's two forms. There is a blessing for today, and then there's the blessings that are found in Christ. So the blessing for today that Peter talks about here is the natural result of turning from evil and seeking peace. In order to support this, he quotes from Psalms 34 in verses 10 through 11. And he says, whoever desires to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Now, the important thing to understand here is that when an author quotes from the Psalms or the Proverbs is that those books contain what's known as wisdom literature. They tell you how to prosper and to succeed in life and what leads to a prosperous or successful life. It would be like you could be compared to good life advice. A lot of good life advice is found in the Psalms and in the Proverbs. General truths. It's like if I told you that if you exercise and if you eat healthy, that you'll have a good life, that you'll experience health and wellness. That's generally true. But the important thing is that it's not always true. What about the people who go to the gym and then get injured and then end up with a worse life than before? So Peter recognizes that because even if you want to see a life and good days, and even if you seek peace and pursue it, that doesn't always happen. And he alludes to that in verse 14 when he says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake. Peter is being realistic. He recognizes that sometimes the general rule of life doesn't always happen, and that people do suffer even when they do what is right. So that brings us to the second form of blessing. And Peter illustrates this second form of blessing, the blessings that are found in Christ, with the examples of two persons. And those two persons are Noah in Jesus. If you'll read with me verses 18 through 22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits who are in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Baptism corresponds to this, now saves you, not as the removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with the angels and authorities and powers having been subjected to him. So we have these two men. We have Noah and we have Jesus. And what is fascinating about their lives is that they both suffered. Noah was known as a preacher of righteousness. He appealed to the world around him to repent before the oncoming flood. And no one listened to him. He spent decades building a boat in the middle of an area that had no water, a boat to float when there was no water around. And so he had to endure years of ridicule and years of effort and suffering before he saw the blessing of being saved from the flood. In the same way, Jesus was a man of sorrows and he was acquainted with grief. That's a big part of the reason why he came to earth, is to experience our suffering with us so that he could sympathize with us. And so what Jesus went through in his life is not limited to just his suffering on the cross. We see him suffering in other moments of life as well. We see him weeping at his friend's tomb who had died. We see him crying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we see him enduring ridicule and mockery and persecution pretty much wherever he went, even and especially in his hometown. So the amazing thing is that both Jesus and Noah experienced blessing, though. Noah experienced the blessing of salvation and being him and his family being saved from the oncoming flood and the judgment that covered the whole world. And Jesus, his blessing is so much greater that he received through his suffering. Verse 22 says that he has gone into heaven and he is at the right hand of God. And that is Jesus' blessing, is he experiences the presence of the Father and the unity that he has with the Father on a day-to-day basis. And all the suffering that he went through was worth it. Now, what's amazing about this is that we get to share in the blessings of Christ. We get to share in this very presence of God in our lives today, and it's incredible. One of my favorite songs, Blessings by Laura Story. I was laying in bed last night, troubled, and this song came on my Spotify radio. And I want to read some of the lyrics to you today. It says, what if your blessings come through raindrops? And what if your healing comes through tears? And what if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know that you're near? And what if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? This song has really impacted my life, and it gives me a perspective of hope. It reminds me of the hope that I have despite all the sufferings and all the troubles that I go through in this life and that we all go through. We experienced a lot of trouble before 2020, but I feel like it's been extra concentrated this year. And so the call this morning is to remember your hope and remember the oncoming blessing of the presence of God that we have been promised and that we get to share in with Christ. So there's two things that we can do to step into this hope. First, we hope, and then we share our hope with those around us. So to embrace your hope, there needs to be a release of fear and anxiety. We find in verse 14, Peter says, "That have no fear of them," that's the people persecuting these Christians, "nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy." Fear and anxiety and trouble are the enemy of hope. And if we are to embrace our hope, there needs to be a release of the fear and anxiety that we have in our hearts and minds. I don't know what your fears and anxieties are for the rest of 2020. At this point, it could be anything. Who knows if there's going to be an asteroid coming towards Earth next? We don't know. But our hope remains secure. Maybe you're worried about your financial stability going forward. And maybe 2020 has impacted you economically, and you have a cause for fear and anxiety with your finances. Maybe you are afraid for your health or the health of those that you love. There are many people in this world whose health is threatened and sensitive, and that is a cause of fear and anxiety. But I would encourage you this morning to embrace your hope by remembering the blessings that are coming. And because those blessings override anything, any cause of fear and anxiety. They are greater than that. The hope that is offered in Jesus is greater than any fear that this world can throw at us. Next, show your hope to the world. Peter says, "Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks of you the reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." That gentleness and respect is very important, people. So the church has not always done a great job at hearing the last part of that statement. So if we are to be a community of hope who shows our hope to the world around us, we need to live that hope and live as hopeful people. Because the best way to defend your hope is to live as a person of hope and share your blessings with the world around you. That is a powerful witness. If you've received a blessing, if you have embraced the hope of Christ, share it with the world around them. Let people know that there is something that is greater than the fear and anxiety that they are experiencing today in 2020. Because there are blessings for today, so live holy. And there are blessings for the future, so hope. We're going to go ahead and sing another song before we go.